to be healed is merely to accept what has always been the simple truth and always will remain exactly as it has forever been. There is no miracle you cannot have when you desire healing. But there is no miracle that can be given you unless you want it. Miracles enable you to heal the sick and raise the dead, because you made sickness and death yourself and can therefore abolish both. Tell yourself quite confidently that you are entitled to miracles. Remind yourself that you are asking only for what is rightfully yours. Remind yourself also that miracles are never taken from one and given to another, and that in asking for your rights, you are upholding the rights of everyone. Miracles do not obey the laws of this world. They merely follow from the laws of God. Miracles fall like drops of healing rain from heaven on a dry and dusty world where starved and thirsty creatures come to die. Now they have water. Now the world is green. And everywhere the signs of life spring up to show that what is born can never die. For what has life has immortality. All healing is release from the past. Relieve the mind of the insane burden of guilt it carries so wearily, and healing is accomplished. The unforgiving are sick, believing they are unforgiven. The hanging on to guilt, its hugging close and sheltering, its loving protection and alert defense, all this is but the grim refusal to forgive. God may not enter here, the sick repeat over and over, while they mourn their loss and yet rejoice in it. Healing occurs as a patient begins to hear the dirge he sings and questions its validity. Until he hears it, he cannot understand that it is he who sings it to himself. To hear it is the first step in recovery. To question it must then become his choice. Healing will always stand aside when it would be seen as threat. The instant it is welcome, it is there. Where healing has been given, it will be received. To forgive is to heal. all forms of sickness, even unto death, are physical expressions of the fear of awakening. Sickness is a defense against the truth. Sickness is not an accident. Like all defenses, it is an insane device for self-deception. And like all the rest, its purpose is to hide reality. How do you think that sickness can succeed in shielding you from truth? Because it proves the body is not separate from you, and so you must be separate from the truth. You suffer pain because the body does. And in this pain, are you made one with it? Thus is your true identity preserved. And the strange, haunting thought that you might be something beyond this little pile of dust, silenced and stilled. For see, this dust can make you suffer, twist your limbs and stop your heart, commanding you to die and cease to be. Truth has a power far beyond defense, for no illusions can remain where truth has been allowed to enter. And it comes to any mind that would lay down its arms and cease to play with folly. It is found at any time, today, if you will choose to practice giving welcome to the truth. This is our aim today. And we will ask the truth to come to us and set us free. And truth will come, for it has never been apart from us. It merely waits for just this invitation, which we give today. We introduce it with a healing prayer to help us rise above defensiveness and let truth be as it has always been. Sickness is a defense against the truth. I will accept the truth of what I am, and let my mind be wholly healed today. Sickness is a defense against the truth. I will accept the truth of what I am, and let my mind be wholly healed today. Healing will flash across your open mind as peace and truth arise to take the place of war and vain imaginings. There will be no dark corners sickness can conceal and keep defended from the light of truth. Now is the body healed, because the source of sickness has been opened to relief. And you will recognize you practiced well by this. The body should not feel at all. If you have been successful, there will be no sense of feeling ill or feeling well, of pain or pleasure. No response at all is in the mind to what the body does. Its usefulness remains, and nothing more. Perhaps you do not realize that this removes the limits you had placed upon the body by the purposes you gave to it. As these are laid aside, the strength the body has will always be enough to serve all truly useful purposes. The body's health is fully guaranteed because it is not limited by time, by weather or fatigue, by food and drink or any laws you made it serve before. You need do nothing now to make it well, for sickness has become impossible. Yet this protection needs to be preserved by careful watching. If you let your mind harbor attack thoughts, yield to judgment, or make plans against uncertainties to come. You have again misplaced yourself and made a bodily identity which will attack the body. Do not be confused about what must be healed, but tell yourself, I have forgotten what I really am, for I mistook my body for myself. Sickness is a defense against the truth. But I am not a body, and my mind cannot attack. So I cannot be sick. The miracle is useless if you learn but that the body can be healed. For this is not the lesson it was sent to teach. The lesson is the mind was sick that thought the body could be sick. This world is full of miracles. They stand in shining silence next to every dream of pain and suffering, of sin and guilt. They are the dream's alternative, the choice to be the dreamer, rather than deny the active role in making up the dream. The body is released because the mind acknowledges, this is not done to me, but I am doing this. And thus the mind is free to make another choice instead. When the ego tempts you to sickness, do not ask the Holy Spirit to heal the body. For this would merely be to accept the ego's belief that the body is the proper aim of healing. Ask rather that the Holy Spirit teach you the right perception of the body. To see a body as anything except a means of communication is to limit your mind and to hurt yourself. The body's function is but to let God's voice speak through it to human ears. The central lesson is always this, that what you use the body for, it will become to you. Use it for sin or for attack, which is the same as sin, and you will see it as sinful. Because it is sinful, it is weak. And being weak, it suffers and it dies. Use it to bring the word of God to those who have it not, and the body becomes holy. Because it is holy, it cannot be sick, nor can it die. When its usefulness is done, it is laid by, and that is all. The body is in need of no defense. This cannot be too often emphasized. It will be strong and healthy if the mind does not abuse it by assigning it to roles it cannot fill, to purposes beyond its scope, and to exalted aims which it cannot accomplish. The body need merely be perceived as quite apart from you, and it becomes a healthy, serviceable instrument through which the mind can operate until its usefulness is over. Who would want to keep it when its usefulness is done? health is the result of relinquishing all attempts to use the body lovelessly. As you let the Holy Spirit teach you how to use the body only for purposes of communication and renounce its use for separation and attack, which the ego sees in it, you will learn you have no need of a body at all. The body is a tiny fence around a little part of a glorious and complete idea. When you equate yourself with a body, you will always experience depression. I am not a body. I am free. Freedom must be impossible as long as you perceive a body as yourself. The body is a limit. Who would seek for freedom in a body looks for it where it cannot be found. The mind can be made free when it no longer sees itself as in a body, firmly tied to it and sheltered by its presence. The mind that serves the Holy Spirit is unlimited forever, in all ways, beyond the laws of time and space, unbound by any preconceptions, and with strength and power to do whatever it is asked. Attack thoughts cannot enter such a mind, because it has been given to the source of love, and fear can never enter in a mind that has attached itself to love. It rests in God. And who can be afraid, who lives in innocence and only loves? Declare your innocence, and you are free. The body disappears, because you have no need of it, except the need the Holy Spirit sees. For this, the body will appear as useful form for what the mind must do. It thus becomes a vehicle which helps forgiveness be extended to the all-inclusive goal that it must reach according to God's plan. The Holy Spirit is the home of minds that seek for freedom. In Him they have found what they have sought. The body's purpose now is unambiguous, and it becomes perfect in the ability to serve an undivided goal. Without the power to enslave, it is a worthy servant of the freedom which the mind within the Holy Spirit seeks. Be free today, and carry freedom as your gift to those who still believe they are enslaved within a body. Be you free, so that the Holy Spirit can make use of your escape from bondage to set free the many who perceive themselves as bound and helpless and afraid. Let love replace their fears through you. Accept salvation now, and give your mind to Him who calls to you to make this gift to Him. For He would give you perfect freedom, perfect joy, and hope that finds its full accomplishment in God. You are God's Son. In immortality, you live forever. Would you not return your mind to this? Then practice well the thought the Holy Spirit gives you for today. Your brothers stand released with you in it. The world is blessed along with you. God's Son will weep no more, and heaven offers thanks for the increase of joy your practice brings to it. And God Himself extends His love and happiness each time you say, I am not a body. I am free. I hear the voice that God has given me, and it is only this that my mind obeys. I am not a body. I am free. God is my life. I have no life but His. I was mistaken when I thought I lived apart from God, a separate entity that moved in isolation, unattached and housed within a body. Now I know. My life is God's. I have no other home, and I do not exist apart from Him. He has no thoughts that are not part of me, and I have none but those which are of Him. You have another dedication that would keep the body incorruptible and perfect as long as it is useful for your holy purpose. The body no more dies than it can feel. It does nothing. Of itself, it is neither corruptible nor incorruptible. It is nothing. There is one thing that you have never done. You have not utterly forgotten the body. It has perhaps faded at times from your sight, but it has not yet completely disappeared. You are not asked to let this happen for more than an instant. Yet it is in this instant that the miracle of atonement happens. Afterwards, you will see the body again, but never quite the same. And every instant that you spend without awareness of it gives you a different view of it when you return. When peace comes at last to those who wrestle with temptation and fight against the giving into sin, when the light comes at last into the mind given to contemplation, or when the goal is finally achieved by anyone, it always comes with just one happy realization. I need do nothing. To do anything involves the body. And if you recognize you need do nothing, you have withdrawn the body's value from your mind. The body that is asked to be a god will be attacked because its nothingness has not been recognized. As something, it can be perceived and thought to feel and act and hold you in its grasp as prisoner to itself. And it can fail to be what you demanded that it be, and you will hate it for its littleness. Unmindful that the failure does not lie in that it is not more than it should be, but only in your failure to perceive that it is nothing. Yet its nothingness is your salvation. Sickness is anger taken out upon the body. My body is a wholly neutral thing. Its neutrality protects it while it has a use, and afterwards, without a purpose, it is laid aside. It is not sick, nor old, nor hurt. It is but functionless, unneeded, and cast off. Let me not see it more than this today, of service for a while, and fit to serve, to keep its usefulness while it can serve, and then to be replaced for greater good. This is what death should be. A quiet choice, made joyfully and with a sense of peace. Because the body has been kindly used to help the Son of God along the way he goes to God. We thank the body then for all the service it has given us. But we are thankful too. The need is done to walk the world of limits and to reach the Christ in hidden form and clearly seen at most in lovely flashes. Now we can behold him without blinders in the light that we have earned to look upon again. We call it death. But it is liberty. It does not come in forms that seem to be thrust down in pain upon unwilling flesh, but as a gentle welcome to release. If there has been true healing, this can be the form in which death comes when it is time to rest a while from labor gladly done and gladly ended. Now we go in peace to freer air and gentler climate, where it is not hard to see the gifts we gave were saved for us. For Christ is clearer now, his vision more sustained in us, his voice, the word of God, more certainly our own. I choose the joy of God instead of pain. Pain is a wrong perspective. When it is experienced in any form, it is a proof of self-deception. It is not a fact at all. There is no form it takes that will not disappear if seen aright. For pain proclaims God cruel. Pain is a sign illusions reign in place of truth. If God is real, there is no pain. If pain is real, there is no God. It is your thoughts alone that cause you pain. Nothing external to your mind can hurt or injure you in any way. There is no cause beyond yourself that can reach down and bring oppression. No one but yourself affects you. There is nothing in the world that has the power to make you ill or sad or weak or frail. But it is you who have the power to dominate all things you see by merely recognizing what you are. As you perceive the harmlessness in them, they will accept your holy will as theirs. And what was seen as fearful now becomes a source of innocence and holiness. My holy brother, think of this a while. The world you see does nothing. It has no effects at all. It merely represents your thoughts, and it will change entirely as you elect to change your mind and choose the joy of God as what you really want. Yourself is radiant in this holy joy, unchanged, unchanging, and unchangeable, forever and forever. And would you deny a little corner of your mind its own inheritance and keep it as a hospital for pain, a sickly place where living things must come at last to die? Lay down your arms and come without defense into the quiet place where heaven's peace holds all things still at last. Lay down all thoughts of danger and of fear. Let no attack enter with you. Lay down the cruel sword of judgment that you hold against your throat, and put aside the withering assaults with which you seek to hide your holiness. Here will you understand, there is no pain. Here does the joy of God belong to you. This is the day when it is given you to realize the lesson that contains all of salvation's power. It is this: pain is illusion, joy reality. Pain is but sleep, joy is awakening. Pain is deception, joy alone is truth. I choose the joy of God instead of pain. Peace and be still a little while, and see how far you rise above the world when you release your mind from chains and let it seek the level where it finds itself at home. It will be grateful to be free a while. It knows where it belongs, but free its wings, and it will fly in sureness and in joy to join its holy purpose. Let it rest in its Creator, there to be restored to sanity, to freedom, and to love. Sickness takes many forms, and so does unforgiveness. The forms of one but reproduce the forms of the other, for they are the same illusion. So closely is one translated into the other that a careful study of the form a sickness takes will point quite clearly to the form of unforgiveness that it represents. Yet, seeing this will not affect a cure. That is achieved by only one recognition, that only forgiveness heals an unforgiveness, and only an unforgiveness can possibly give rise to sickness of any kind. Sometimes the illness has a sufficiently strong hold over the mind to render a person temporarily inaccessible to the atonement. In this case, it may be wise to utilize a compromise approach to mind and body, in which something from the outside is temporarily given healing belief. Physical medications are forms of spells. But if you are afraid to use the mind to heal, you should not attempt to do so. The acceptance of sickness as a decision of the mind for a purpose for which it would use the body is the basis of healing. And this is so for healing in all forms. A patient decides that this is so, and he recovers. If he decides against recovery, he will not be healed. Who is the physician? Only the mind of the patient himself. The outcome is what he decides that it is. Special agents seem to be ministering to him, yet they but give form to his own choice. He chooses them in order to bring tangible form to his desires. And it is this they do, and nothing else. They are not actually needed at all. the patient could merely rise up without their aid and say, "I have no use for this." There is no form of sickness that would not be cured at once. What is the single requisite for this shift in perception? It is simply this: the recognition that sickness is of the mind and has nothing to do with the body. The resistance to recognizing this is enormous, because the existence of the world as you perceive it depends on the body being the decision maker. What does this recognition cost? It costs the whole world you see, for the world will never again appear to rule the mind. Only salvation can be said to cure. Cure is a word that cannot be applied to any remedy the world accepts as beneficial. What the world perceives as therapeutic is but what will make the body better. When it tries to heal the mind, it sees no separation from the body where it thinks the mind exists. Its forms of healing thus must substitute illusion for illusion. One belief in sickness takes another form, and so the patient now perceives himself as well. He is not healed. He merely had a dream that he was sick, and in the dream he found a magic formula to make him well. Yet he has not awakened from the dream, and so his mind remains exactly as it was before. He has not seen the light that would awaken him and end the dream. What difference does the content of a dream make in reality? One either sleeps or wakens. There is nothing in between. The happy dreams the Holy Spirit brings are different from the dreaming of the world. They lead from sleep to gentle waking, so that dreams are gone, and thus they cure for all eternity. Atonement heals with certainty and cures all sickness. For the mind which understands that sickness can be nothing but a dream is not deceived by forms the dream may take. Sickness, where guilt is absent, cannot come, for it is but another form of guilt. Atonement does not heal the sick, for that is not a cure. It takes away the guilt that makes the sickness possible, and that is cure indeed. For sickness now is gone, with nothing left to which it can return. So do we lay aside our amulets, our charms and medicines, our chants and bits of magic in whatever form they take. We will be still and listen for the voice of healing, which will cure all ills as one, restoring saneness to the Son of God. No voice but this can cure. Today we hear a single voice which speaks to us of truth, where all illusions end and peace returns to the eternal, quiet home of God. We waken hearing him, and let him speak to us as the day begins and in the day by listening again before we go to sleep. Our only preparation is to let our interfering thoughts be laid aside. Not separately, but all of them as one. They are the same. We have no need to make them different, and thus delay the time when we can hear our Father speak to us. We hear him now. We come to him today. With nothing in our hands to which we cling, with lifted hearts and listening minds we pray, only salvation can be said to cure. Speak to us, Father, that we may be healed. Only salvation can be said to cure. Speak to us, Father, that we may be healed. And we will feel salvation cover us with soft protection and with peace so deep that no illusion can disturb our minds nor offer proof to us that it is real. This will we learn today. And we will say our prayer for healing hourly and take a minute as the hour strikes to hear the answer to our prayer be given us as we attend in silence and in joy. This is the day when healing comes to us. This is the day when separation ends and we remember who we really are. I am under no laws, but God's. Think of the freedom in the recognition that you are not bound by all the strange and twisted laws you have set up to save you. You really think that you would starve unless you have stacks of green paper strips and piles of metal discs. You really think a small round pellet or some fluid pushed into your veins through a sharpened needle will ward off disease and death. You really think you are alone unless another body is with you. You think you must obey the laws of medicine, of economics, and of health. Protect the body, and you will be saved. These are not laws, but madness. There are no laws except the laws of God. This needs repeating over and over until you realize it applies to everything. There are no laws but God's. Dismiss all foolish magical beliefs today and hold your mind in silent readiness to hear the voice that speaks the truth to you. I am under no laws but God's. Your son is free, my father. Let me not imagine I have bound him with the laws I made to rule the body. He is not subject to any laws I made by which I try to make the body more secure. He is not changed by what is changeable. He is not slave to any laws of time. He is as you created him, because he knows no law except the law of love. Healing is the effect of minds that join, as sickness comes from minds that separate. Healing is a thought by which two minds perceive their oneness and become glad. When I am healed, I am not healed alone. Today's idea remains the central thought on which salvation rests. For healing is the opposite of all the world's ideas which dwell on sickness and on separate states. Sickness is a retreat from others and a shutting off of joining. It becomes a door that closes on a separate self and keeps it isolated and alone. Sickness is isolation. For it seems to keep oneself apart from all the rest, to suffer what the others do not feel. It gives the body final power to make the separation real and keep the mind in solitary prison, split apart and held in pieces by a solid wall of sickened flesh which it cannot surmount. The world obeys the laws that sickness serves. But healing operates apart from them. It is impossible that anyone be healed alone. In sickness must he be apart and separate. But healing is his own decision to be one again and to accept his self with all its parts intact and unassailed. In sickness does his self appear to be dismembered and without the unity that gives it life. But healing is accomplished as he sees the body has no power to attack the universal oneness of God's Son. Healing is freedom, for it demonstrates that dreams will not prevail against the truth. Healing is shared, and by this attribute, it proves that laws unlike the ones which hold that sickness is inevitable are more potent than their sickly opposites. Healing is strength, for by its gentle hand is weakness overcome, and minds that were walled off within a body, free to join with other minds, to be forever strong. And as you let yourself be healed, you see all those around you, or who cross your mind, or whom you touch, or those who seem to have no contact with you, healed along with you. Perhaps you will not recognize them all, nor realize how great your offering to all the world when you let healing come to you. But you are never healed alone. And legions upon legions will receive the gift that you receive when you are healed. We will remember as the hour strikes. Our function is to let our minds be healed, that we may carry healing to the world, exchanging curse for blessing, pain for joy, and separation for the peace of God. Is not a minute of the hour worth the giving to receive a gift like this? Is not a little time a small expense to offer for the gift of everything? Yet must we be prepared for such a gift? And so we will begin the day with these thoughts with which we will conclude today at night as well. When I am not healed alone. And I would share my healing with the world, that sickness may be banished from the mind of God's one Son, who is my only self. Let healing be through you this very day. And as you rest in quiet, be prepared to give as you receive, to hold but what you give, and to receive the Word of God, to take the place of all the foolish thoughts that ever were imagined. Now we come together to make well all that was sick, and offer blessing where there was attack. Nor will we let this function be forgot as every hour of the day slips by, remembering our purpose with this thought. When I am not healed alone. And I would bless my brothers, for I would be healed with them as they are healed with me. The only way to heal is to be healed. The miracle extends without your help, but you are needed that it can begin. Accept the miracle of healing, and it will go forth because of what it is. It is its nature to extend itself the instant it is born. Who can bestow upon another what he does not have? And who can share what he denies himself? The Holy Spirit speaks to you. He does not speak to someone else. Yet by your listening, his voice extends, because you have accepted what he says. A therapist does not heal. He lets healing be. The Holy Spirit is the only therapist. He will tell you exactly what to do to help anyone he sends to you for help, and will speak to him through you if you do not interfere. Who then decides what each brother needs? Surely not you, who do not yet recognize who he is who asks. There is something in him that will tell you if you listen. And that is the answer. Listen. Do not demand. Do not decide. Do not sacrifice. Listen. It is in the instant that the therapist forgets to judge the patient that healing occurs. He overlooks the mind and body, seeing only the face of Christ shining in front of him, correcting all mistakes and healing all perception. A sick person perceives himself as separate from God. Would you see him as separate from you? It is your task to heal the sense of separation that has made him sick. Whenever a teacher of God has tried to be a channel for healing, he has succeeded. One asks for help, another hears, and tries to answer in the form of help. This is the formula for salvation and must heal. Let us lift up our eyes together, not in fear, but faith. And there will be no fear in us, for in our vision will be no illusions, only a pathway to the open door of heaven, the home we share in quietness, and where we live in gentleness and peace as one together. My heart is beating in the peace of God. Surrounding me is all the life that God created in His love. It calls to me in every heartbeat and in every breath, in every action and in every thought. peace fills my heart and floods my body with the purpose of forgiveness. Now my mind is healed, and all I need to save the world is given me. Each heartbeat brings me peace. Each breath infuses me with strength. I am a messenger of God, directed by His voice, sustained by Him in love, and held forever quiet and at peace within His loving arms. Each heartbeat calls His name, and everyone is answered by His voice, assuring me I am at home in Him.